KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We are a geek-centric talk show here on KCU Santa Clara. We talk about news, tech stuff, entertainment stuff, comic books, video games, movies, all that stuff.
Space.
Space. Yes, definitely a lot of space lately.
Yep.
And it's robots, of exciting. Course.
Yeah. Lots of geeky stuff.
Yes. All that stuff. All that under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. We open that geek umbrella. Maybe indoors, maybe outdoors. Right. Uh-oh.
We fly around on it like Mary Poppins.
We believe in rationality and not superstition, so opening it indoors or outdoors means nothing.
See, there you go.
Other than the opportunity to fly.
Well, yeah. But that goes without saying. The key to flying is throwing yourself at the ground and missing.
I've heard that. I have yet to try it that way, but...
It's a challenging skill that if you're a fan of the Hitchhikers, you may have heard other places where they have mastered this, and you can actually go take classes on how to throw yourself at the ground and miss.
Okay. I'm just imagining like sort of like slipping and falling, except upward.
It's not unlike that. So like, you know, the whole banana peel thing, but right. With an emphasis in like continuing the fall upwards.
Mm.
Okay.
Hmm.
That's the theory anyways.
Oh, okay.
Got to work on that. Okay.
Maybe you out there can work on it as well. Let us know.
Yes, and if you want to let us know, you can do that at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are the two fastest ways to get a hold of us throughout the show, and then you can be part of it right now. It's awesome.
Totally awesome. Speaking of totally awesome things, how have you guys been? Have you done anything cool, exciting since last we spoke?
I've been
in the station?
Mostly awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say totally awesome.
No. Okay.
I have a little bit of a sore back right now.
No.
So that's like the partially not awesome. But other than that, mostly awesome.
Did a ninja come up and like punch you in the back? And
then... See, that's the thing. They very well could have, and I wouldn't know because is
ninja.
Their skill.
Ninja, that's true.
Yeah.
Be a bad ninja if you knew if it was a ninja.
Right. Yeah, so it was either a ninja or my cat or me lifting heavy objects, one of those things.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ninja cat, maybe?
Ninja cat
lifting heavy, forcing you to lift heavy things by controlling
That's partially it also.
Controlling your chakras.
I'm sure. But kind of the easy go-to thing that I think a lot of people have been talking about lately is the... Call of Duty Black Ops 2 beta.
No.
Black Ops 2?
Or, I'm sorry, 3. You are correct, sir. Thank you. I have enjoyed that way too much, and it's going to be sad to see it depart and have to wait all the way until
release day.
Early November. But, yeah.
That will be a little bit of a wait. Yeah.
A little bit, but it'll probably come by faster than... You think, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly, I never got to try out my 6-attachment auto rifle, so...
Oh! Okay.
Yeah. So, it'll rest in peace.
Well, if you're listening, like, live now, I think it goes to 10 p.m.
That's right.
Pacific Standard Time. So, when the show ends, if you, like, jam out of here and you get back to your place...
really, really
fast. You might
fast.
Be able to get, like, a round or two.
Half a round.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Try
that's
it
true.
Out.
Okay.
So.
I'll hold out hope for that.
So what have your thoughts been on the beta? I mean, we won't spend a whole lot of time just so, you know, people who aren't a huge fan of Call of Duty are like, yeah, I don't want to hear this. But
it's been really interesting because I don't know why I even bother doing it. I've been listening to everybody else's thoughts on it.
Oh, okay.
And trying to compare them with mine. And it seems like everybody has completely different feelings on this game than I do, at least in, like, the critical community.
Oh, okay.
And it just feels really odd because this, to me, this is a return to really nice, smooth gameplay with a really simple way of choosing the stuff that you want without it getting overcomplicated. It just feels like home to me in a weird sort of way. And I appreciate some of the stuff that I've heard. A lot of people have kind of mentioned that there's not as much variety there in this one as there were, at least as there was in Advanced Warfare. And I can respect that. But I feel like they kind of went the direction that Titanfall did, which I still don't think was necessarily a bad direction, is that paring things down to the things that just are like good representations of any particular role of fighting device is kind of all you need. You don't need 14 different versions of the same submachine gun necessarily.
Sure you do. That's what it's all about, right?
I'm just saying you don't necessarily need it. It's kind of cool having the option. I agree with that. But that's just my way of looking at it personally, I guess.
Yeah, honestly, I think if they can... I didn't actually play myself, but I watched you guys, and I was noticing that the selection of weaponry wasn't as wide, but it seemed like from what I could... From watching you guys play, I was like... Because I watched your streaming of it. It seemed like the handling of the individual weapons was a little bit tighter than it was in Ghosts, perhaps?
That's jumping back. But yeah, since that was the last thing that you were messing around with. Man, it's weird putting myself back in the frame mindset of Ghosts. All I'm thinking about is I miss that dog. I wish I had the dog back.
Yeah.
But it's difficult having a dog, like, with jump packs or something like that. That would be pretty cool, though, if you could have your dog, like, following you around. Bouncing him. What was the dog from Mega Man called?
Oh, that was
Scooter.
No,
Tramp.
No.
Rocket.
No base.
Trouble. Someone out there is like,
oh, right. Oh, these people call themselves geeks.
Yeah, they're banging.
I haven't played
on
Mega
them.
Man in so long now.
I know. Same here. Luckily,
you can play the Mega Man Legacy Collection.
Right. Exactly.
Banging on there.
But yeah. I don't think there was anything necessarily wrong with the gameplay in Call of Duty Ghosts. I think it was just they had a bunch of missteps where they were trying to go for broke on new next-gen systems and then realized that they had more ropes tying them down than they realized. So, like, they had massive maps in that game, and you could never find anybody. So you ended up having to waste a lot of stuff just on perks to find people.
Yeah.
Which is weird because this game has tons and tons of perks like that, and the maps are a lot smaller and tighter. So
also, the beta maps, they might have bigger ones in the release.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And side note, the dog's name was Rush.
Rush.
Okay. That sounds more familiar.
Maybe that will be in
Mega Manning,
Ghosts 2 or whatever Infinity Ward does. If they're sticking with the near future, they'll have their own.
Yeah, that would not be too. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know there was a push to do kind of the same thing with drones a little bit, and that would have made, like, I think that game had like the Night Owl or something like that. It was like a little hexagon drone they would chase around.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like something like that might kind of work.
Yeah.
And they've had stuff similar to that in Advanced Warfare, but not quite.
But getting back to Black Ops 3.
Sorry.
It's okay. What are your thoughts on the specialists as kind of the new way of doing the multiplayer, in a sense? I mean, it's...
I don't think it's 100% perfect, but I do feel like they had some logical things that made a lot of sense. Basically, if you're not familiar, the specialist roles end up giving you kind of perks like you'd get from any normal stuff, except that it's based on an outright clock. So it ends up introducing power boosts that you don't necessarily have to earn. And so it makes it more along the lines of Titanfall, getting the Titans. If you were really good at the game, you'd get the Titans really fast. But you could at least count on getting the Titans and feeling like you're a big shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I feel like a lot of reviewers are kind of missing, is that all of these games have had their version of the noob tube. It's the equalizer for people when they're starting out so they can feel like they're doing a little bit well.
Yeah.
And not feel completely outclassed by the big bad players.
Mm-hmm. That have been playing since, what, version 3?
Right. And I feel like since they ended up introducing the mechs in Titanfall in order to kind of balance out against the big bad players, what ended up creating new big bad players in that game was the people who were so awesome with all of the wall running stuff that they were just untouchable. They were so fast that a Titan couldn't zero in on them and gun them down. And so they'd literally be better just as pilots running around for a lot of people than to even bother with their mechs. They'd just throw down their mechs and let them like kind of fend for themselves and maybe protect them a little bit in order to keep the points going. But this one, it feels like they directly address that by having the specialists as kind of the Titans themselves. So they give them abilities like a really awesome gun that'll take things out in one shot.
I like that it's basically the specialist will get either a weapon or some sort of ability.
Right.
And you get to pick. You have to unlock points every time you level to unlock one or the other.
Yeah.
And then you have to pick that, and that's what you're stuck with for the game until you finish the game, the match.
Uh-huh.
Then you can go back out, select that specialist, and swap over to the other one you want, or swap to a different specialist. So you can't change it each round.
Mm-hmm.
You can change your class each round, like you normally do, but whatever ability you select for your specialist, you're stuck with that for the entire match.
Okay.
So it's a nice idea of, well, if you're kind of more of a weapons person, like you want some kind of powerful weapon or something like that, maybe select the weapon that comes with that specialist. Or if you're like, well, I kind of like having something a little more
tactical.
Tactical, some kind of ability or something like that, and I'll just rely on my actual weapons that I'm carrying, then you can kind of select the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a nice touch as far as, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. Oh, man, so many different directions to go. I have to actually choose what to talk about before I run out of time.
How many of the specialists did you get a chance to touch?
I'm still calling her Orphan Black for some reason, even though it's just like one of the characters from Orphan Black has the little haircut that's the same as hers. But yeah, it's the Seraph, I believe, was the last one that I got. So I didn't get terrible far as the actual leveling system went. But it's always been that way for me. I end up messing around with weird gun combos and stuff like that. Like, I have to try absolutely every single attachment, even though I know what it does. It's like, maybe it'll function differently this time.
Yeah.
No, not really.
A suppressor. It's just like a suppressor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing about suppressors, I gotta say, is that they've created way more really heavy weapons that I like that makes it so a suppressor doesn't pull the teeth out of the weapon because it still has a lot of punch.
Hmm.
It seems like in the past they've done it with everything that it knocks the power down by like half. This one, it seems to knock it by like a third or something like that.
Mm.
And so a powerful weapon will still stay pretty powerful.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a touch that I definitely like.
So, I'll ask the first part, the positives. What are, like, maybe a couple things that you really like about it so far? Again, to clarify, this is a beta, so, you know, you can't really say, like, it is the finished product, so things might change. But at least for now, what you've played, like, what have been a couple of the things, like, yes, I really like that they did this, or...
Honestly, it's just familiarity. It feels really smooth. They add just enough things from other games to add a little bit of variety to it, but not enough that it completely overhauls the game and breaks it in any sort of way.
Mm.
The big, for instance, to me is the last game, the mech suits. They were a really cool addition to it, and it changed the game in a lot of ways. But if you were not ready for the way that those things move, it would destroy you as far as getting points and so on. And this one seems to have a lot more checks and balances to kind of bring people
back. When you say the last game, what?
Advanced Warfare, Call of Duty.
The what mech suits? The score streak or
no the frames
the exo
yeah the exo
oh, okay.
frames so yeah it just as far as having to adapt to more verticality, you don't have to worry about that near as much, like trying to jump on rooftops and worry about things that are 30 feet above you and stuff like that. A lot of things are pretty much within, I don't know, like a 45 degree field of view up and down.
Okay. So
makes it a lot easier to keep track of.
So now on the flip side, what do you not like about it that you either hope they improve or...
I feel like there needs to be a lot more balance as far as the specialist abilities. I like that they're giving you really potent, deadly things, but when you end up having something that's more defensive... I feel like that should kind of win the rock, paper, scissors versus something that does a lot of damage.
Mm.
Because, I don't know, like, a lot of things do damage. And so when you get something that's purely defensive, I feel like that should be stronger somehow. Just because it should help you against a wider range of things.
Yeah.
Is that like the little power armor add-ons I would see pop up at the bottom of your screens? Like, hit both bumpers and then like you activate a certain kind of...
That's actually how all of the specialist abilities
that's your
trigger.
Specialist ability. That's how you activate it.
It's the same as a Titanfall drop.
Okay.
Yeah. The main one for me was the actual armor ability for what was it? Battery, I believe.
Yeah.
It was really cool having an armor ability. For that, it didn't last very long, and it was nullified by every single other special attack. And so when there's that many special attacks flying around, it feels like it cheapens it. Like, I used my special ability, and it really doesn't do anything, because chances are one out of the six other players are going to have a special charged up, ready to go.
Yeah, and you glow like... Hey, shoot me first.
Right.
And you're like, because it's supposed to protect your body, but like your head is vulnerable, like it says in there. So it's like, here you're glowing like gold.
Right.
But your head. So you're like, hey, shoot me in the head.
Yeah.
I'm standing here out of everyone. It's like, wow, that's really cool. And I agree. It doesn't seem as effective.
I kept calling that character White Queen because it was like the diamond armor sort of. there was one other thing that I meant to mention as far as that goes.
But... Did you have a question, Caleb?
I was going to ask you turn the question on you. Like, what was your pluses and minuses while Jason thinks of his last one?
I'll start with the minus, because that's the one that pops in my head right now. Is like, I miss, it's only like pick 10. I really like to pick 13 in Advanced Warfare. Like, I love being able to just like, if I don't want to use score streaks, just dump all of them or just use one and then have those slots for other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I love being able to customize like my UAV. Like, uh-huh. oh, if I want to turn it into a support, it's going to cost a bunch more points, but I can keep those. Oh, if I want to keep it longer, it's going to cost more points, but I can do that. Like, oh, like give it all these abilities. Like, I really love that, and I hate mm-hmm. that's gone.
That's definitely something I'm going to miss. That's one complication I happily keep.
yeah. I just feel like having that three less, like I can't make my character as cool as I'd hope. I don't know. It's so hard because I was trying to think that like it's not fair to really compare like a finished full game that's had a bunch of DLC to a beta that is really buggy and crashes a lot.
yeah, I remember that from your first stream. I was like, crash. oh, man.
but I miss, I also say like, with Advanced Warfare, again, like I'm no pro at Call of Duty by any means. I'm sure there are some super awesome pros out there and know how to use the exos extremely well. Like the only real exo ability I used was like the silence one and then the running one for kind of domination stuff.
Right.
But generally, like I found most of them, like I could just either dump them or just keep one. But when I could pull off the quick dash or like just getting like to high ground pretty fast, like I like, again, clarify, you know, finished game versus beta,
right?
I like the exo in that sense more than I do the little hop. Like I like in Black Ops the slide. The slide is almost to me like that's its sort of version of the exo.
Right.
The little bunny hop is cool, but like that slide, if you can get that, I saw guys like using that and just shotgun.
It's really long
sliding.
Range.
Yeah, it's really long range. You can go super fast and avoid stuff if you get really good with it. That to me seems like its version of the exo's like dash out of the way or get to something really quick.
Yeah.
And I'm curious with how, with the other maps, again, clarifying, not being a pro player, right now the wall running, I don't want to say it feels like a gimmick, but it doesn't feel entirely necessary in the maps, again, that have been dropped.
Right.
A few of them, you are very vulnerable. Like, just like, oh, there's a guy. Bam, 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 like, shoot him. But there are parts where it is, like, really cool to use, especially on, like, compound, I think, or something, the really small one. There are some areas where, like, if you can kind of time the wall run and jump from one to the other, you can kind of sneak on people, and that's pretty cool. But so I'm curious to see with the rest of the map and as the game progress, if wall running becomes more of like, yeah, this is something that you should do and get better at, or if it is like, because all the only reason why I kind of say sort of a gimmick thing is like, one of our buddies, Kane, hasn't played like Call of Duty since Ghosts. Like was rusty for a couple rounds in this beta, then popped back in and like he's really good and started dominating. And like he told me, and from what it seems like, he doesn't really wall run. He doesn't really do a lot of the kind of stuff that this introduced, but he still does a fairly decent job. So it's kind of, I'm curious to see how well that stuff gets, you know, like taken. So those are kind of my like negatives, but I will say in a positive, they did a good job of making the LMG like really good. Like that's one of my favorite weapons. Yeah. That first LMG, like usually when I end up using that, I get in the top three, like on our team. So
nice.
Like, all right. I like that you actually made this LMG really handy. So
yeah,
that's kind of a rarity in Call of Duty games. Like they're almost worthless in a sense.
Nice accuracy and plenty of punch.
And lots of bullets.
And lots of
so
bullets.
So you can just kind of like, I'm kind of missing them, but if I just keep turning there and I still have a lot of bullets. So, I got to try, I got to try the robot, the Seraph, the arrow check, I think Overrider, I think, or something like that. And
Outrider.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I'd agree. It's sort of the same things. Like all their kind of powers maybe need to be tweaked here and there. But it's still definitely like fun. I still feel like that Call of Duty feel of, you know, it's still fun to run around with friends and and shoot and stuff like that. And there's nothing really, I don't know, I'm trying to think if there was anything really like clunky, but I can't really think of anything that, again, it's a beta, so
it's hard to say too much about. Yeah, the one thing I'm kind of curious about, like with the wall running stuff, is like at its core, it's still Call of Duty. It's not Titanfall. Titanfall was built around kind of like the high mobility stuff. So I'm wondering, like if they like how they will balance that out, because
I mean it's real easy, like while you're wall running, to still aim down your sights or still shoot at people. Yeah. So that's definitely like,
which Titanfall didn't have.
Yeah, Titanfall was, yeah, it was like a hand plus your feet on the wall. So
mobility was always a sacrifice in Titanfall, and this one it isn't so much.
Yeah, this one you can still, you know, you can still hip fire or, you know, left trigger, aim down the sights, and still be solid. You know, it'll still just depend on whatever the recoil of your weapon.
Mm-hmm. It's their guns up philosophy.
Yeah,
I did the air quotes there for everybody who couldn't see.
So. Cool.
But yeah, that's. I think it sounds like we overall had fun. Mm-hmm. We look forward to the finished product and see.
Yeah, I have pretty good faith in Treyarch to pull it out. They've made more of my preferred Call of Duty games in the last little while than some of the others. So
yeah, the one thing that I heard somebody just today bring up that I do feel like they have messed up on ever since their first iteration was they need to bring back purchasing weapon parts instead, just because it allows you to not have to level a weapon in order to get the stuff that you want. That does seem like something that's been missing from every single game since that first Black Ops game.
First Black Ops game, yeah. That was an interesting tweak on the gun system.
It was really nice. And being able to permanently purchase a high-level item, weapon attachment, was really nice. Mm-hmm. Of course, you'd have to purchase the gun along with it, which is kind of a trade-off. But
yeah,
it was a nice trade-off.
Cool. Awesome. So I look forward to seeing more of you guys' stream, the final thing, when that finally happens.
Yeah.
No.
I look forward to streaming it.
Yeah, I want to like also see what it's like to watch Kane play this game, because like I've heard a lot about about this guy's COD abilities, and I don't think I've ever played a match with him.
Oh, okay. It's a treat. It's a treat.
Yeah. So how about yourself, Caleb? Would you? What have you been up to?
Oh, not a whole lot.
Watching us on Twitch.
Yeah, I've been watching you guys on Twitch fair amount. This weekend, my wife did a painting for our morning service for church, and a kind of interactive art piece, which was pretty cool.
I remember her mentioning. I think actually. On one of our streams.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think when you were finishing up the one of the Last Witcher ones for you, she mentioned it. Yeah, it came together really well. It was
a nice
fair amount of work because they were not small pieces.
Oh, okay.
It's not because it's a triptych, so that means there's three parts to it. The centerpiece was about 3 by 3 feet by 4 feet, so it wasn't super small, but we got it done, and they looked really good.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. Nice.
Was it was there a central theme, or like was there
the theme of it was based on one of the sections in James where it's talking about how the tongue can be both an instrument of cursing and an instrument of blessing, so it can build up and it can burn down, and its natural inclination is generally to burn things, and so we need to...
Internet!
Yeah, as the internet has proven, a million monkeys and a million keyboards will produce plenty of trolls. But, you know, it's kind of like how to be aware of what we say, how we say it, and what that means to other people and how it affects them and stuff like that. Just,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you have any pictures up, post it, we can link, so... Yeah, the audience can check them out.
Definitely, I'll have to put some up for that.
Sounds good.
You can stream it on Twitch too.
I don't know if I can.
Sure, you can. I'm. Yeah.
figured out.
Yeah, sure. We'll figure something out.
Just put it under.
You have a Kinect.
Yeah.
Technically true. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for Geek Talk.
That'll do. That'll do.
We'll take a music break and then we'll come back and have our next episode, quote unquote, of Watch Party.
Yes.
For a punchline. And but before we get to the music, I've got a PSA for us. It is, of course, San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. After this music break, we'll be back with the Punchline Watch Party with episodes 7 and 8. All right. You're listening to KCU Santa Clara, Robots Attack. All right. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to KCU Santa Clara, Robots Attack. We are now in Watch Party of Punchline with episodes 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
Panty Panic Returns was episode 7.
Yes. So we'll start with that one. So as last week, I know the ending of the episode, it brought the hero kind of going back in time to the beginning,
yes,
where it sort of all started at the, or you know, his death, quote unquote, started
right
at the
yes, his displacement in from his body.
Yeah. And so 7 is kind of like restarting the series, kind of like it's
sorta
because, you know, he's now gone back in time to fix to try and stop the asteroid from destroying everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so how else, of course, does the episode do that? With lots of exposition.
Yes.
Lots and lots of exposition.
Yes.
Holy cow, these two episodes, man.
They were like 80, a good 80% expositional dialogue.
Yeah. It was like, it was kind of neat seeing like him go, you know, Yuta go back and like you start to get to see because he's been doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, we learn that he's been doing this for lots and lots. Well, I think, was it episode 8? Like
episode 8, they actually give the number the of how number. Many times he's done
he's
it.
He's been doing it for a lot.
Quite a while.
Quite a while. And so, yeah, but now it's interesting seeing like, oh, so that's why he put those things up. Or you're like, oh, okay, you know, he put up the shrines. Or he's like, oh, you know, he did it. Because we learned like that was him.
Yes.
You know? And then was it? I can't remember. Was it 7 or 8 that we learned like it was him that
7
because 7 that yeah. kicked him out of
yes
yeah so we learned that it was himself that kicked him
himself
his spirit out of, you know, because when we were watching the series, you know, we had this you know idea like, oh, was it, you know, was that bad guy of that group, you know, did he do it maybe, or what caused it? And then we learned it was him.
He did it to himself. Yeah. And If it sounds like things are starting to work in a weird spiral and get a little bit confusing, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Because, like, and like 7, they crammed, like, between the expositional dialogue, they just crammed, like, intense amounts of the rest of the episodes into the one episode.
Yeah. Yeah, and what, he was the, I forget the cat's name, but would, like, he made a restriction of, like,
yeah,
you can't, like, you know, he's going back to try and fix the stuff, but he can't, like, change certain things without the cat's permission.
Yes.
Or because, like, if he does, the way the cat explained it, if I'm remembering correctly, was, like, well, all those others, like, either, like, they broke the rules or they did certain things and they ended up failing. So, and, like, the cat was, you know, trying to help him, like, you remember these bad things that happened, but it did bring you all together. And so,
right,
like, you know, sometimes maybe the old, you know, you have to break a few eggs to, or crack a few eggs to make an omelet or whatever kind of thing. But
yeah, well, also, like, just because something bad that something bad has happened doesn't mean that everything doesn't mean that the thing isn't any less bad, but the things that come after it aren't always bad.
Yeah.
If that makes
yeah,
sort of the good can result from bad, but doesn't change the fact that bad things are bad.
Yeah.
And if that sounds circular, wait till you watch the, if you haven't seen the episode, go back and watching like I'm riding this little spiral.
Yeah, it was, I have to say, it's not that like, I would say these two episodes were bad, but they're definitely my least favorite of the series so far, just because it was so much like exposition of just like,
yeah, cause it's like they're having to explain so much of what they're doing now that was spread out over the like last 6 episodes before this.
Yeah.
And now we have two trying to cram effectively the same, almost the same level of information down into two episodes. It's like, that's,
yeah,
would be really interesting seeing the outline for this show. Like,
yeah, it's definitely these two episodes was definitely way more tell than show.
Yes.
You know, as far as the balance of the, of the scales.
Yeah. Which hopefully means that the rest of the 13 episodes that we have left, which is what, from 5 more episodes after 8.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's 12 or 13, but yeah, I mean, it, again, like I mentioned earlier, like it was neat kind of seeing like, oh, you know, we find out that like his sister sent him that suit.
Yeah.
That, you know, that you found, you know, it's like, oh, so that's how we got that crazy getup costume. What was the other,
they also explain why the robot girl said, whose name just totally dumped out of my brain, says that he's a girl. Yet why Yuta is a girl.
Meika is the robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, so, okay, so I had a question about that. Was it 7 or 8 where they showed, like, so, I was a little confused. So the, those 3 kids that were, like, at the, you know, with the
research
scientists
facility,
in the lab.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that car accident that where they got struck struck by lightning, got their Uber powers.
They were Uber and then they got hit by lightning.
So they all got switched?
Yes.
Their spirits all got switched?
Yeah, they basically passed their spirit one body to the left.
Oh, okay.
So
that makes some sense, no?
So then because they showed like who went into whom, like, so Yuta is because I was confused by that whole part. It's like, okay, so wait, which one is he? She?
So Yuta ends up being the brown haired girl, and the brown haired girl switched into the pink haired girl, and then that's why she ends up being kind of the klutzy one in the episodes that we've seen, and why it seemed like she was out of place in the old flashback episode. Because remember, she couldn't catch the ball and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so that sort of snaps into place. That kind of makes a little bit more sense.
And then the last one got shifted down into Yuta's body.
So where did the guy go? Pine or?
Pine. Pine went into Yuta's body. So Yuta's body is Pine. But Pine, it looks like Pine actually has found a way to almost at will move his spirit around.
Okay.
Or move their spirit around. So it's like, it is confusing.
Yeah. So Pine is the one that was possessing the armored guy, right?
I believe so.
The teacher.
Yes. If memory serves. Yeah. That's how that worked.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like at some point they got switched around so much that they kind of were able to do interesting things.
Yeah, and apparently part of the sci-fi BS that the show uses is that when they are in their uberfied state, their spirit is more susceptible to being detached from their body than it is just when they're in normal going around stuff.
We've kind of seen that in a lot of shows. That's like Avatar sort of had that in a weird sort of way also.
The Avatar state, yeah. The consciousness separated from the body and stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. But, yeah, that's... this is where, again, like, there's a weird little cycle that the show takes where he has to, like, you have to figure out what exactly is going on. And they're doing a lot in a very small space of time that you have to figure out what's going on.
It sounds like they're doing the most confusing stuff all in one spot.
Yes. Yeah. They lead up to a lot, and then they compress
a lot.
So maybe
that's why the outline didn't seem so bad. It was like, well, it's just one thing we're doing, but it's the most confusing thing. Yeah. And then we're following it up with one more in the next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, they compress the confusion into two episodes. Like, they alluded to a lot of things up to this, and then like, and now we bang all the information together, because it's not, I'm guessing, because they're probably like leading up to like more action stuff in episodes going forward, it seems. Like,
yeah, I almost feel like I unfortunately might need to rewatch those two again. It was just like, it was, I'll be honest, a lot of it was like over my, I'm still confused, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
the, I mean, from the little bit that I understand from it, it sounds like all you're supposed to take away from it is that all bets are off as far as who could be who because of both time travel and body swapping.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you know, actually, that they mentioned too, the, was it the end in the eighth one? Like, the robot girl shows that fax machine.
Yes.
And then he has that flash of, like, you know, being told, you know, write down
all this,
know, all this information. That, you know what though? That grandpa, I'm kind of thinking that's Yoda.
It very well could be.
That would be interesting.
Cause like when they showed him, like, you know, in the bed, like lying down on his deathbed and stuff like that, like he kind of looked like an older version of Yoda. You know, so I started thinking, like, I wonder if he's, you know, and because it's sort of the same, like, thing of, you know, when he finally got back and he's like, okay, he was making notes in his phone, like, okay, this day, this, the turtle guy, okay, well, this day, this, we found out about this, you know, blah, 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 like.
Right.
And, you know, he tells her, okay, you need to find this girl, you need to, you know, train this person to be this, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely fits together nicely.
Yeah, and also explain why his final instruction was, there will be a weird dude that shows up. He's okay.
Yeah, trust the weird guy in, like, in the weird costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing, one thing that kind of threw me off in that show, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's just anime or something, but, like, he, throughout that seventh episode, he was trying to, you know, like, prevent himself from, you know, blowing up.
Right.
And so, you know, he'd knock so-and-so over or do this sort of thing. And, like, you know, he did it as a real person, got, like, you know, did all these really, like, kind of pervy things, like, the way you look at it. And then it just sort of cut to, like, it's fine later. Like, they were like, super mad at him in the moment. And then, like, the next thing, it was just like, oh, yeah, I guess, you know, you coming in my room and, like, jumping on me and stuff wasn't a big deal. Like, there was no even, like, a little scene of, like, hey, yeah, sorry about that, I don't know what happened to me. It was just like, yeah, you know, I tried to sneak in to do the thing, you know, and there's, okay.
Yeah, it's, yeah, that also was a little odd. It's like, what, you're awful forgiving very quickly of someone invading your personal space.
Yeah, because it wasn't like, I could understand if it was at the point where they were kind of at all gotten closer already, but it was like that early stage still, so it was like, whoa, what? Oh, okay,
sure,
that's anime.
Yeah,
that's anime.
Yeah, but, and that's why also time travel is hard.
Yeah,
and this is a fairly small loop as far as time travel loops are concerned, but
yeah,
at the same time, like, there's hints that this is a much longer loop than it looks like, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, it'll be curious with only a few handful of episodes left.
Yeah,
like where it's gonna go. Because he ended up, you know, they had that battle that they had before with the teacher in the armor, but he, like, went a little further this time, and, you know, like, broke his arm and leg and stuff like that, and, you know, spilled the beans as far as I know, you know, who's inside you, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know what you're up to, that sort of thing. And the cat got mad, like, you broke the rule. blah, blah, blah. But so it'll be curious to see, having sort of changed that, like what other little things end up.
Yeah.
You know.
What's the cascade, the Marty McFly, like how do you get your parents to kiss?
Yeah. So yeah, I would say definitely these two on the lower end of the episodes that mm-hmm. I've enjoyed, but they were, you know, it was still, they were fine, but
yeah.
I think, like, as we mentioned, it's definitely the, okay, these are the exposition.
Yes.
Dialogue mm-hmm. episodes.
Yeah. And plus, like, since they're back sort of at the beginning of the story, it's like, we kind of seen this part already. You don't have to explain all of that over again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, this, it's also their way of connecting all of the loop back together. Like, yes, this is the exact same, this is the same timeline overall, but not the exact same place.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the little touches of seeing like, oh, the reasons of like why, when you're watching an initially, like, whoa, you know, where did those things come from? What it's like, oh, you kind of see, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He did this with this because of time, space and all that stuff. But
yeah.
But yeah.
That, yeah, I didn't expect you to shoot first makes a lot more sense all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I want to say there was another little thing like that too that happened in one of those episodes. It's like, oh, okay, that makes a little more sense, but I'm blanking on it now, but
yeah, it's a lot to keep track of too, because they compress the whole thing down to an episode and a half, so more or less.
Yeah. But yeah, any other final thoughts or?
Not a whole lot. Just very curious where it goes next, because it sounds like he may have changed enough things that the trajectory of this timeline may shift a bit, and hopefully they don't have to undo the undo to mm-hmm. undo the undo.
Yeah, what other sort of evil forces, quote unquote, are going to show up now?
Mm-hmm.
But all right, so that was episode 7 and 8 of our watch party for Punchline. So next Monday, well, no, not next Monday, because the Labor building Day. Will be closed mm-hmm. and it'll be Labor Day. But so you've got some time to catch up. If maybe you came in late on this, it's mm-hmm. still time to catch up. But so when we do our next show, we'll do episodes 9 and 10.
Yes.
Of Punchline.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right. And of course, Caleb, how can they, if they've watched, they mm-hmm. want to give their thoughts on the episodes or.
That's right. If you want to participate and talk with us about what your thoughts are on this, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. They are open in the background. We keep an eye on them throughout the show. That's where you can comment. You can also comment on our own website, robotsattack.me. That's where we archive episodes of the show, plus other cool, all the links to our social media there. It's a good spot to catch up on things and to interact with us further.
Yes. All right. We're going to take another music break, and then we will come back with some new releases.
All right.
Stick it here to KCU Santa Clara. More Robots Attack after this.
Yes.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We got some new releases for you. I'm going to start us off with the theater new releases. We've got A Walk in the Woods. Travel writer Bill Ryerson, instead of retiring to enjoy his loving and beautiful wife and large and happy family, he challenges himself to hike the Appalachian Trail, 2,200 miles of America's most unspoiled, spectacular, and rugged countryside from Georgia to Maine. The peace and tranquility he hopes to find, though, is anything but once he agrees to be accompanied by the only person he can find willing to join him on the trek, his long-lost and former friend, Katz, a down-on-his-luck serial philanderer who, after a lifetime of relying on his charm and wits to keep one step ahead of the law, sees the trip as a way to sneak out of paying some debts and sneak into one last adventure before it's too late. Then we have The Transporter Refueled, Frank Martin, a former special ops mercenary, is now living a less perilous life, or so he thinks, transporting classified packages for questionable people. When Frank's father pays him a visit in the south of France, their father-son bonding weekend takes a turn for the worse when Frank is engaged by cunning femme fatale Anna and her three seductive sidekicks to orchestrate the bank heist of the century. Then we have Steve Jobs, Man in the Machine, in his signature black turtleneck and blue jeans, shrouded in shadows, below a milky apple. Steve Jobs' image was ubiquitous, but who was the man on the stage? What accounted for the grief of so many across the world when he died? Steve Jobs, the Man in the Machine, is a critical examination of Jobs, who was at once revered as an iconoclastic genius and a barbed-tongued tyrant. A candid look at Jobs' legacy, featuring interviews with a handful of those close to him at different stages in his life. And then last but not least, we have Absolutely Anything, a group of eccentric aliens confer a human being with the power to do absolutely anything as an experiment.
Well, what could go wrong?
Exactly.
The movie, apparently, according to Metacritic.
There you go.
Well, here are some other things that may and or may not go wrong, depending on your feelings of Metacritic. I'll see you in my dreams on Blu-ray and DVD. Carol is having trouble finding joy in life since her dog passed away. Her friends encourage her to strike out and expand her horizons. So she strikes up an unlikely friendship with her pool maintenance guy, and then finds some romance and reconnects with her daughter. Naturally, this all helps her put a fresh perspective on things.
Well,
that'll do it.
Also, this
week...
It's
like the complete opposite of John Wick.
Yeah, kinda. Actually, yes, almost exactly. That was the exact opposite.
See, it took a little bit, but once you get like, yeah, the dog lost. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She didn't go on a killing rampage.
Nope.
She found love.
Yep. She met Sam Elliott. So, you know, there you go.
There you go.
Let's see. And another story kind of a triumph is Glen Campbell, I'll Be Me, on DVD. Glen Campbell is one of the most influential figures in country music. His career has taken him from Carnegie Hall all the way to the Hollywood Bowl. And one of the greatest things is how he and his family dealt with his Alzheimer's disease. They embraced and publicly dealt with it. And his story of success is not just of his stage, but at home. And how he has touched the lives of many. The film includes interviews with Sir Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, The Edge, which is the bassist from
yes.
U2, in case you're unfamiliar, Bill Clinton, and many others.
Hmm.
In case you're unfamiliar with Glen Campbell, one of his more known tunes is A Rhinestone Cowboy.
Okay.
Then there is also coming out on DVD, The Turning. Based on a novel by the same name, this film is distinct in that it is the work of 17 talented directors from Australia. This story is about a small coastal community. It's about living and living with second chances, mistakes, and all those things that come with it. And then jumping out of kind of Life Lessonville is Star Wars Rebels Season 1 on Blu-ray and DVD. The Empire has come to a remote planet, and their iron rule has been brought to Ezra's home. He finds unlikely allies in the curious assortment of crew from the ship Ghost. He also meets with favorite characters from throughout the Star Wars universe. And rounding it out is Mad Max Fury Road on Blu-ray and DVD. Life in the post-nuclear apocalypse is hard. If you know that as well as Max Rotansky, sorry. And he is drawn into an ever-deepening circle as he helps a group of women escape in a war rig driven by the elite Imperator Furiosa. Guns, mayhem, explosion, all set against a story that is deeply human.
There you go.
Nice.
Next up in video games, we also have Mad Max.
Yeah. What?
This is just simply Mad Max by itself. No Fury, no roads. I think it has some cars, though.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
It's coming out tomorrow on PS4, PC, and Xbox One. Next up, we have a little game that's going to end up wrapping up an entire saga of games. I shouldn't say little, and apparently it's the biggest of its kind. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, also coming out tomorrow on last-gen as well as current-gen consoles and PC. I've heard the PC release is actually stellar, which is kind of unusual these days.
Yeah.
So wait, it's a bug-free PC release? Never.
I don't know if it's bug-free. Oh, okay. I'm not saying that, but I've heard very good things about it, which I'm not used to.
Okay.
Next up, we have a game called Armello, apparently coming out of a preview program on Steam, into the world as regular PC game, as well as PC, PS4 and mobile platforms, aka iPhone and Android.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty interesting. It's animals swashbuckling in sort of an RPG-ish, cel-shaded, pretty just a very nice looking game. Next up we have
pretty sun. Sorry.
Next up we have the Deer God, and deer with two E's as in the animal.
Oh, so it's not Deer God,
right? It's the Deer God.
Ah.
This is a pixel game coming to Xbox One also tomorrow. Everything's coming out tomorrow. That's all I have for games for this week, but one last note also for the Xbox One, since Deer God is going to be part of their free for the
games with gold,
part of thing. Evolve is also having a free play weekend this weekend if you have gold. So if you wish to try that out and have Xbox One and gold, go to it.
Very good then. Something else you can go to is your local comic shop and pick up some some excellent titles.
Nice.
One of which is DC Bombshells number 2. Wonder Woman calls on the help of Mera, Princess of Atlantis, to help her bust Captain Steve Trevor out of his prison cell. Meanwhile, two new heroes emerge from under the red star of Russia, Supergirl and Stargirl.
What?
And then at Marvel Studios, it's Thor's number 3. At last, the Thor Corps has brought their number one number one suspect in a string of murders, Loki. Then at Dark Horse, it's Angel and Faith season 10, number 18. Faith and Drusilla face off. Very short description. Then from Image, it's We Stand on Guard, number 3. It's a new story arc, and this one takes us into the birth... Wait, no, that's the wrong description text. Never mind. We Stand on Guard is going to be investigating the if I remember correctly, investigating the horrors of future torture. So like prisoners of war stuff.
Oh, okay.
If memory serves.
Via the Thor Corps?
No, Thor Corps is not involved because they're part of Battleworld. They have other things to worry about. And wrapping up with IDW's release of Danger Girl Renegade number 1. Abby Chase, you may have known her as the adventuring archaeologist, or perhaps as a member of the international spy group known as Danger. But how was such a person formed? Explore the history of one of the key members of Danger! There you go.
Wow, so it's sort of like the Tomb Raider reboot.
Yeah, kind of.
Interesting.
And it is also featuring a cover by one of the creators of the series, Jeff Scott Campbell, so there you go.
Oh, nice.
Perfect. All He's right. been doing a lot of covers lately.
Mm-hmm.
I will wrap us up with some music. We've got Find a Way to Care by John Mayall. The latest release for the Blues Artist was produced with Eric Korn and features an emphasis on Mayall's piano playing. And we have Everybody's a Good Dog by Dan Coffey, the second full-length release for Foxygen drummer Sean Fleming, as Diane Coffey was inspired by his move to Bloomington, Indiana. And we have Invite the Light by Dam Funk, the second full-length release for Damon Riddick, features guest appearances from such artists as Computer J, Flea, Junie Morrison, Night Jewel, Q-Tip, Snoop Dogg, Novella Carmel, and Judy Watley. And we have, last but not least, What the World Needs Now by Public Image Limited. This is the 10th full-length studio release for the British post-punk band led by John Linden. All right. Now I think, before we get to it, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website. Never be without the underground sound. And, of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for our call letters, KSCU.
That's right. And now it's time for...
News.
That's right. We are in the news. Let's news them.
All right. I'm going to kick it off with an interesting bit of algorithmic science. That's algorithms are mathematical constructs that allow that are used to analyze data in one form or another.
Okay.
And in this case,
they can also be dances, right?
I'm sure someone's algorithmic a dance. It's sort of like physics. It can describe almost anything. But in this case, it is an algorithm designed to separate reflections or visual impedance on an image. Example, you're in a high rise and you're taking a picture looking out the window, but your reflection like blocks most of the picture. With software created by a group of researchers at Google and MIT, they can actually remove the reflection as a separate image from the actual data of the photograph itself. So you can have what is outside the window without the reflection.
That's cheating.
And you can it also can be used to take things you're shooting through like a chain link fence, but you can't get close enough to like actually get your camera lens like in between the links. You could actually like just snap your picture, and then with this, it will take out the chain link fence and leave the part that you actually are wanting to photograph visible behind it.
Still cheating.
Yeah, it's a little bit nuts, but it's really, really cool. Like the before and after pictures on the page are pretty impressive. So.
From MIT Google.
Google MIT, yeah. Google and MIT, MIT. So, yeah, there you go. You can improve your pictures with math. Like, literally improve them with math.
Literal math. See, there you go. There's a use for math.
Yes.
That helps you.
It helps you. Mathematical if you are a fan of Adventure Time.
Okay, well, a little group of people that has been trying to improve the world with math and warfare, I guess, a little group called DARPA has been...
They use a bit of math, I think.
Just a little bit here and there.
Little.
They've been developing something kind of interesting, at least a name. They've been working towards deploying gremlins.
Like the little things from the 80s movie that happen when you like get your Mogwai wet?
Well, that sounds personal, but no, actually, it's even farther back than that. Remember the Disney thing from way back that it was the little animated guys like taking apart enemy airplanes?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's sort of more in lines with that, which is actually like an urban legend from Russia, best I understand.
Mm. Machines would go haywire and they would be possessed by gremlins, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the idea is that you take a bomber that has a fairly good sized bomber, and you load it up with these things that they're calling gremlins. And you launch them, and they end up flying like missiles towards an airplane in a swarm. And so when they get close to the airplane, they don't actually destroy it. What they do is they have a holding pattern around the airplane, and it starts breaking down all of its communication and electronics by targeted attacks from these gremlins.
Huh.
And so it basically makes it so the airplane cannot... finish its mission at that point. It needs to go home because it can't receive any data as far as how to conduct the mission from that point forward, as well as just basic problems with avionics just acting buggy and so on. So it's effectively a non-threatening way of neutralizing enemy aircraft with gremlins.
There you are.
Huh.
Whoa. Got a gremlin. A plane. Got to land.
So, from imaginary creatures to real creatures, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It looks like animals, since obviously, okay, you know, we put on sunscreen, right? And like, you know,
protect us
from the sun
do.
And stuff like that. Well, okay.
I have bad skin.
We wasn't really specifically meant directed at you exactly. It was the royal we or whatever.
Fair enough.
But animals, you don't see them, you know, popping out there. You know, sunscreen bottles and
not often.
Slabberum
not often.
Stuff
I've
like
seen
that,
a
so.
Random seagull every once in a while.
Okay.
I don't think it knew what it was doing though.
Was it trying to eat the bottle more or
might have?
I think it was looking for the chewy center of it, but but yeah, that wasn't working very well for it.
Well, in a recent study in the Journal of eLife, found that some fish, birds, amphibians, and reptiles have the genes to produce gadasol, a compound that can act as a sunscreen. Gadasol absorbs UV radiation, particularly UVB, ultraviolet B, and dissipates it as heat. Study leader Taifo Mahmoud, apologize, I know that's probably wrong.
It sounds pretty close.
Mm-hmm. A professor of medicinal chemistry at Oregon State University, says via email, gadasol produced by zebrafish, a highly studied lab species, may even help scientists create a better sunscreen for people. By transferring the zebrafish genes into yeast in the lab, researchers were able to test gadasol's activity as a sunscreen and show that it can be produced commercially. So the question is, so can I just rub a zebrafish on my face next time I want to forget my sunscreen? A bit impractical, says Mahmoud, but yeah. But cod and sea urchin eggs, popular sushi ingredients, can contain the radiation-absorbing chemical. So, quote, you may have consumed gadasol without knowing it, he says.
Huh.
Flipping over to hippopotamuses, they produce a sweat made of one red and one orange pigment. A 2004 study in Nature revealed that the red pigment contains an antibiotic while the orange absorbs UV rays. So the two pigments work together to protect the African mammals from both bacterial infections and sun damage.
Jeez.
It also explains the misconception that they sweat blood. There's
there
also the mantis shrimp. They have amino acid pigments called MMAs in their eyes that are known as nature sunscreen. It reports in a 2014 study in the journal Current Biology. However, mantis shrimp, the pigments play another role. They serve as powerful filters that contribute to the crustacean's incredibly sharp and complex vision. Likewise, in zebrafish, gadasol may play. Where'd it go? No. Yeah. Okay. May play multiple roles, including some functions required to accomplish embryonic development. West African lungfish don't make sunscreen, but they know how to stay cool. They bundle themselves in a cocoon of mollusks before burying themselves in the mud during the dry season. Snug and protected, the fish then go into a period of estivation, a period of dormancy some animals go into during the hot months, like a summer version of hibernation.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. So there you go. That's how the animals protect themselves from the sun. So
they don't. Wow. I found out that my sweat is very boring.
Yeah, I know, man. You need to get some of that. No.
Maybe they need to study our sweat a little bit. Maybe they were just taking it for granted that it doesn't do any of those things.
Perhaps.
I'm pretty sure that we have the best sweat around. Pretty sure.
Jason from Robots Attack says, humans, best sweat around.
Right. It's confirmed. Well, here's something else that has been confirmed recently. It's that Bill Murray is actually going to participate in the next Ghostbusters movie.
No, I don't believe it.
I know. For years and years, he resisted, like, vehemently that he would not participate in any such movie, much to the chagrin of of one of his besties, Mr. Dan Aykroyd, who kept writing things, like a new thing every week, trying to get him in. Like, what about this one? And apparently none of those were good enough.
Dang.
Anyway, so initially when the reboots were being talked about, it was the same story. Well, they're not really going to have anything to do with it. So why the about face on this?
Why indeed? Tell us. Tell us.
It turns out he just likes the cast and director. Which makes it even more awkward. Dan Aykroyd has to be sitting back like, wait, what?
What do you mean you don't like us?
Right. You're implying that you don't like us. But, man. But, yeah, effectively, when he was interviewed about the entire thing, all he had to do, all he had to say about it was, I like those girls a lot. I mean, I really do. They are tough to say no to. And Paul is a really nice fellow. Paul Feig, the director of the movie. So, yeah.
Well, there you are then.
Huh. After years and years, all it took was having a cast and crew that he actually liked being around, apparently. But he isn't going to be returning in the same role. He is going to have some other supporting role that has not been specified yet.
Okay.
So
okay.
He's not playing Dr. Peter Venkman again.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, because I would have been like, kind of would have liked to have been surprised by that, by just watching the movie and be like, is that Bill Murray? What the?
Oh, yeah.
Well, things that we aren't always liking to be surprised by, but now they might actually be a little bit nicer to us, is needles.
Yay!
From Back to the Future 2?
No.
Played by Flea?
Nice.
No.
He had a bulldog.
No, not this time.
Could have been really big.
This is... there's a new device called the Vein Viewer, which is a special light which can be projected against the skin, and it works in the near infrared. And what it does is it actually helps make the veins beneath the skin viewable to the naked eye.
Brought to you by Vampire Corp.
It can find veins under the skin up to 0.4 of an inch deep.
Oh, that's too deep.
They also have a version they call fine detail mode, where it actually like will up the contrast. So if you have a person, like some people like have their veins are for whatever reason just a little bit more difficult to see or find when you're getting blood drawn for medical testing, or when you're
because of all the drugs,
or other reasons not pertaining to drugs,
I guess,
but
mostly drugs though.
With this, its effect it can change the didn't quite get it. It'll reduce the number of the amount of error down to probably version to one step for getting the vein, so that they can get the blood, get or whatever, if it's a some other form of injection or they're placing an IV, they won't miss and have to do it again or something like that. So
I can imagine that being a valuable tool.
Yeah.
Something that people would appreciate.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. And I'm sure for the younger members of our society, children would probably appreciate not being stuck more than once with a needle. So, and for the grown-ups that are like needles, tools like this will reduce the number of times you need to be stuck to get the job done. So here's to you, science.
Science! Well,
not blended by science.
Unblinded. Anyway, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes by a limited time volunteer, well, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. Through help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. So now, my next story.
Yes.
Involves cosplayers and costume designs.
What?
And how cosplayers are actually influencing some costume designers. Specifically here.
Oh, that bends the brain.
How Dragon Age's costume designs are influenced by cosplayers.
Okay.
Cosplayers at events like PAX Prime help video game costume designers to perfect their work, according to Dragon Age Inquisition creative director Mike Laidlaw. Laidlaw told Polygon that BioWare's costume designers learn a lot about the practicalities of their digital creations by observing and talking to cosplayers. Hundreds of cosplayers are walking the aisles of PAX, or at least they were. It's ended. Covering dozens of games and franchises, Dragon Age is especially popular. BioWare staged a PAX Prime cosplay contest and a fashion show during the course while they announced some new DLC, which I'm very excited about. Quote, having someone come up in this amazing Aveline costume or seeing Morrigan or Cassandra all over the place, it's a validation of our work, said Laidlaw. Quote, the neat part is watching our lead concept artist. He sees a good cosplay and he goes and talks to them. He asks which parts are the hardest to put together or which parts are the least comfortable. Quote, I remember hearing feedback from cosplayers that they had nowhere to put their cell phones, they're wearing all this chainmail, and there are no pockets. Quote, so it actually became a mandate that we wanted to put more pockets on costumes. It's a real-life need that helps ground the costumes. The need for cosplayers to have a cell phone and some hand sanitizer is also the same as the need for an actual character to carry things like bandages. Quote, the cosplayers have real needs, and you have to think that the character they represent would also have needs. I don't mean a mage needs to carry a cell charger, but they probably have to carry something. It creates an interesting collaboration. So yeah, it is kind of like when you think about it, like seeing sort of like, oh, this is a super cool design, like in a game or on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Then when you actually go to like make the thing, like, I can't really like move around in this thing. Like,
yeah, it reminds me of the collaboration between Commander Holly and BioWare.
Yeah. That's cool though. It's like it makes like the game feel more realistic, and it makes the costuming better. This is winning on all sides, I say.
Yeah. Fans are helping the games be better for them as well.
Yeah, everybody wins.
Hooray! Speaking of everyone winning,
I guess that works too, but the sentence before it was even better. In completely other news, it has nothing to do with games except that it has everything to do with games from one particular system's standpoint. Xbox has kind of started using its old playbook from the last generation of game systems, in that they now have an elite version of their current generation system. If you haven't heard about the thing, initial reports of it were not quite accurate, because it's way cooler than I expected, and I sort of want one now. So basically, what everybody had kind of assumed initially was that the Elite one was going to be a Kinect-less version of the Xbox, but substituting the Kinect with the new Elite controller and a little bit bigger hard drive to give it some value.
Right.
And so what they ended up doing instead, they gave it a 1 terabyte hard drive, which is pretty big. But not only is it larger, it's a solid-state hard drive.
Ooh.
Which makes it extremely quick at loading things.
Yeah, very fast. And also, it'll keep down its heat requirements as well.
Yeah, that should actually boost performance a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they can't guarantee performance boosts at this point with everything kind of locked in place like it is. But it probably would do that. Anyway, on top of that, it does have the Elite controller, like people expected as soon as they found out that the Elite was along with the Elite, which by itself is kind of a cool tool. Let's see. It's And kind of to add to the entire thing, it doesn't actually increase the price over the Kinect version at all.
So, oh, wow.
Yep. It seems like a pretty cool deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not into Kinect, or want to upgrade to a Kinect later in console life.
There you go. Very cool. Wow. That would be interesting. I wonder when they'll allow us to open the box and put our own SSDs into the thing. Or I guess we can always externalize with USB 3. It's pretty quick.
Yeah. You can do that with the PlayStations effectively. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I don't know if they support solid state or not.
I think so.
It's okay. More to do with the if it has the onboard connectors for it or not. But anyway, very cool.
I think so. Yeah. But yeah, just do external drives.
Yeah. Alrighty. Let's see. Well, it's not Elite. They have found Hitchbot.
What?
Yes. Hitchbot did go missing for a while.
Hitchbot was totally leet. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, but he's not a console. And he was, but anyways.
He was practically, he was that cool.
Not so very long ago, we it became clear that Hitchbot had been, well, demised. Mm. And his location was unknown. But apparently he was, someone found him. And brought him to Kevin Smith, of all people.
Naturally.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Although, he would have enough publicity reach that he could probably make sure that people that originally created Hitchbot could find him and maybe help relaunch raise awareness that Hitchbot was really a decent character and didn't need to be bleeding demised like he was, or like it was. I don't wish to asperge gender upon the robot, our robot friends. But yeah, apparently that he was showed up to a special screening of he showed up to a screening of Mallrats where Kevin Smith was like kind of like talking and stuff like that. So like,
okay.
It was like a weird sort of little reunion of the.
Yeah, guess what I have in my trunk.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go.
I don't want to know, dude. Did
the story say anything about contacting the creators or?
Mm-hmm. I'm confirming that right now. It looks like that he is reaching out to other people. To get in contact with Hitchbot's creators, so it could be interesting to see what happens next, and maybe with him attached, there'll be more Americans willing to take up the mantle of adopting our robotic brethren as opposed to annihilating them.
Yeah. I think that probably could have been avoided with a little bit of rerouting.
Yeah, well, the downside is that the whole point is they don't control the route of Hitchbot other than it's going from, in this case, east to west. So
yeah. I place the blame on whoever drove it from wherever it was to Philly and dropped it off in Philly. I'm just leaving that right there. It's not even necessarily Philly's fault at that point. Philly's going to do what Philly's going to do.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, if there aren't any other stories.
I do have one quick one, actually.
Okay.
Amazon Prime is getting worse.
Okay. Beg pardon?
Well, it's objectively or subjectively both, maybe. Anyway, what it comes down to is that the entire Prime program that they've been doing, where you are allowed to have a fine array of things sent to you in under 2 days' time, now Amazon is allowing people who sell through them to opt out of that program if they are outside a certain range from their location.
Oh, okay.
So it basically is going to end up paring down the number of people that you can buy the Prime Prime products from. But the upside that isn't talked about in the articles that I've seen so far is that it probably will make it so there will be a fair amount of cost savings to the people who are within those areas.
Mm.
So that is definitely an upside for a little bit of a downside. So sometimes trade-offs might be pretty cool.
Balance somewhere here and there. All right, well, I will wrap us up with some This Day in History.
History!
Okay, we've got I should say, August 31st, since, you know, if someone's listening to this later and they assume, like, oh, well, I'm listening to this on September 3rd. Did this happen on there?
That's not right at all. That's I know history.
You're fired. All right, so in 1887, Thomas Edison received a patent for his kinetoscope, and moving pictures were born.
Nice.
Woohoo. Then 1 year later, in 1888, Marianne Nichols, considered to be Jack the Ripper's first victim, was found murdered in London.
Boo.
Good thing it wasn't recorded.
Well,
kind of. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, so 1962. Trinidad and Tobago gained independence from Great Britain.
Woohoo!
Right. Then we jump to 1980. Poland's Solidarity Labor Movement had its beginnings when an agreement ending a 17-day strike was signed in Dansk.
Woohoo?
Yes.
Woohoo!
Yeah! All right. Then we jump to 1994. Russia officially ended its military presence in the former East Germany and the Baltic states.
Woohoo!
Yay! Then 3 years later, 1997, Princess Diana and her companion, Theodolphe Ed, were killed in a car accident in Paris.
That was today.
Then we jumped to 2012. Armenia served diplomatic relations with Hungary after the pardoning of Ramon Safarov. In 2004, Safarov was convicted of killing an Armenian soldier. There you go.
Well, that was nice definitely a mix.
Collection
that's
of,
a severance package right
of,
there.
This day in history. Again, well, you know, hey, history, every day can't everything positive.
It's true. And if you want, if you need a palate cleanser, just do a Google search for emergency kittens.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll do it.
Or emergency cute emergency, something like that. That will.
Yeah, I'm sure all of those are just cute emergency kittens. Emergency kittens. I'm sure those are both Twitter profiles or Facebook profiles.
Man.
And all the profiles, Snapchat profiles and Tumblr profiles and all the stuff. All right. Well,
Scorpion emergency, not so much.
Scorpion.
That will probably bring about very different results.
Yeah, like, get to the hospital somewhere fast or for the
very well could be or it might be the cutest scorpions you've ever seen. Lots of scorpion lulls.
It's possible. It might be a mix of the band and scorpions. That's what you'll get.
It's true. There is that.
Yes. All right, that's gonna do it for Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We won't be back next week because the building is closed and it's Labor Day. So
right. It's not because we don't like you.
Yeah.
We
not
would
at all.
Be here.
We would be here, but they just won't let us in.
Yeah.
So
we've tried. It's just kind of pitiful, like us being on
the
door.
It's bad. Yeah, it's better. We don't. So that gives you the chance to go back and catch up on our watch party, to catch up on previous episodes, all of that stuff. And of course, Caleb, where can they catch up and comment and do all those things? Even though they're like, the show's over with. I missed all those cool news stories with the neat pictures. And how can I, I need to tell. And where can I listen to things? And
sure. Well, the best place to get started is robotsattack.me. That is our website that has archives of our show, that has links to all of our social pages,
that's
all that
our
good
hub.
Stuff. Everything is there. If you wish to go directly to one of our social pages, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are also open while we do the show. So if you catch us on a Monday night, a usual Monday night from around 7-ish to around 9-ish.
Not next Monday.
Not next Monday,
the
but
one after
the next
that.
One, we will be you will catch us here, and you can interact with us live, and that in well not quite in person because you'll be on the internet, but you can interact with us live. And
yeah,
that would be cool.
Or if you have punchline time travel person. Abilities, you can go back like a couple hours.
That's true.
And take somebody over who conveniently has cinnamon next to them.
Yes.
And then your brain bends and a cat kicks you in the stomach.
Yes. All those things will happen.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, tell a friend if you like the show, introduce
yes.
them and review us or rate us on iTunes, all mm-hmm. that stuff that helps promote the show and get it out there and all that stuff.
Yeah, tell a friend, hashtag Robots Attack Show.
That's right. On behalf of myself, Caleb and Jason, we want to thank you for listening and we will catch you next time. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. And, yeah, have yeah. a cool Labor Day as well.
For show.
Knock it out of the park.
Yes, all the parks.
Yes, all the parks. All
right. Take it easy, everybody.
Later.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mistel.